You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, January 4th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Great game last night. We weren't expecting anything less in the second game of Stephen Curry's return, and he turned it up again. 6 of 13 from 3, including the game winner. We'll talk about that. And how well is Dallas playing right now? I talked about them yesterday, how they weren't going to make late game mistakes, how they were going to run with the Warriors, and they did that. And they succeeded in coming back from a 10-point deficit in the last 2 minutes to tie it up before Stephen Curry tore their hearts out. But great game from Dallas all around. Tonight, as you are all well aware, the Warriors face the Rockets for the second time this season. The Rockets are going to be at full strength. They have Capella back. They have Chris Paul back. So the Warriors are going to have to play extremely well to beat this team. You know, the Rockets have been playing up and down for the last few weeks, but they're going to get up for this game just like they got up for game one. And it's going to be, I think, a barn burner. You know, you're going to see a lot of threes put up. And the Warriors, you know, I'll talk about this. The Warriors are not defending the three-point line very well right now. And we're going to dive into that when we preview this game in the third segment. So first segment, we're going to recap this Mavericks game. Great game. Second segment, it's back in time. We're going to continue with the Mavericks theme and go back all the way to We Believe, the season, and then, of course, that first round series where the Warriors beat the 67-win Mavericks in six games. Then in the third segment, we'll keep it in Texas, do that Houston preview, and you know, that should lead us right into the game. So 5 p.m. today, 5 p.m. Pacific start time, so I'll try to get this pod out as early as possible. Apologies for taking so long to get the pod out yesterday. It was a long day for me. As you know, I do other things in addition to recording this podcast every day. So I write grants for nonprofits and sports for Forbes.com. You can go to Forbes.com and see all my media there. I also used to write for BleacherReport.com. I'll keep you posted on any stories I have coming out. I did just come out with a story about Klay Thompson and his deal with Anta. If you haven't read it yet, it's pretty interesting. Take a look. He is featured heavily in it. While I have your attention, go to LockedOnWarriors.com. Bookmark the page. Go to Facebook.com, LockedOnWarriors, LockedOnNBAnet. Like, subscribe. You can find this podcast on iOS and Google Play. And you can contact me personally via Twitter at Kogitare, Kogitare, or via email at alikocarter11@gmail.com if you just want to chop it up about sports, basketball, the like. All right, let's get into this Dallas game. I'll start with Stephen Curry. Played 34 and a half minutes, 11 of 19 from the field, 6 of 13 from 3, 4 of 5 from the line, and, 8 assists, which was a far cry from his 2 assists in the previous game. So he was really involved in every stage of the offense. And it was nice to see that it was a close game going into the fourth quarter so we could get him to come back in and do a little bit of damage before the end of the game. 32 big points and a plus 7 on the night, which would have paced the team. It definitely paced the starters. But Jordan Bell and Patrick McCaw put in great minutes off the bench, 20 minutes apiece. And they were a plus 10 and a plus 9, respectively, even though they didn't really score the ball too much. And that means they were doing other things that were necessary. But honestly, there was a dearth of defense played in this game. Like I said, the Mavericks were apt to run with the Warriors. They do play at a slow pace, but they are not married to that pace. They can play fast, but they shot 48% from the field and 44% from three. This is the third game in a row that the Warriors haven't defended the three-point line, and that's a problem, especially when you got a guy like, I mean, how are you not going to guard Wesley Matthews when he's shooting 7 of 10 from three? You know, Harrison Barnes, wide open three-pointers. Dennis Smith, he chucks 2 of 8. But you got to defend the three-point line. And the Warriors did not do that at all. Well, let's just say the Mavericks were 19 of 43 from 3. And that has as much to do with their hot shooting as it does to do with the Warriors' lack of perimeter defense. And speaking of defense, Draymond Green was a minus 10 on the night. I'm sure he looked at this score sheet and the box score and saw his numbers and was just not impressed. It could have been the fact that he played with different lineups than he's used to playing with. There were only 10 players in this game last night. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily that Draymond was playing poorly. He had 18 and 11 with 6 assists and 2 stocks. But he turned the ball over 6 times. The Warriors only had 14 turnovers, and 6 of them came from Draymond Green. That's where the minus 10 comes from, points off turnovers, right there. And if he doesn't turn the ball over, the Warriors probably have a more comfortable win. They don't need heroics at the end of the game. They don't need Draymond to set that screen that gets Curry open at the top of the key with only Dirk Nowitzki hanging on him. It was exciting. It was very exciting to watch. But those 6 turnovers changed the complexion of the game. They were mostly live ball turnovers, and they're the reason that he's a minus 10 on the night. But the Warriors got the win, and he had one of his better games of the season aside from the turnovers. So, you know, I'll take it. On the other side, Dwight Powell had the game of his life. 21 points, plus 4 on the night. He was just efficient. You know, he was catching lobs from J.J. Barea and, you know, making little pet moves around the basket. He made a three-pointer. He made two three-pointers, and he was perfect 5-of-5 from the line. So he had a great game. He got up for the Warriors, as a lot of players do. He had 5 offensive rebounds and only 1 turnover. So he was definitely, he gets the game ball in the loss for the Mavericks. Yogi Ferrell also played very well, 11 points plus 11 on the night, 3-of-6 from 3. So they're getting open three-pointers, and, you know, either you knock them down or you don't. And they're a good three-point shooting team. They're going to knock them down more often than not. Interestingly, Dirk Nowitzki took 2, made 0. He's the only player on the roster who took a three-pointer and didn't make one. But, you know, that was the difference. That was the difference in the game. The Warriors, for their credit, shot 53% and 41% from 3. But you can't rely on your offense to carry you in every game. And against the Rockets, it's not going to work. That's something that they're going to have to shore up, and hopefully they were able to do it. You know, it's a Sega Baba, but they know what they need to do. That I'm sure they watched the tape. They just need to play better defense. They need to contest shots better in transition and in set pieces. All right, it's Throwback Thursday, and we're going back in time to We Believe. We're going to stick on the Dallas Mavericks subject. They were 67-15 that year. Their strength of schedule showed that they feasted on a lot of teams. But Don Nelson used to coach the Mavericks. At the time, it was coached by Avery Johnson, and Don Nelson was coaching the Warriors. And interestingly, only one team beat the Dallas Mavericks more than once that season. That was the Golden State Warriors. They beat them 3 times. So that 1-8 matchup was never, ever going to be good for the Dallas Mavericks, despite their dominant season, despite Dirk Nowitzki being the best player on the best team, winning the MVP award that year. It was always going to be tough. The Warriors had their number, and Don, he was good at exploiting matchups, let's put it that way. And Don Nelson had a lot of fun with this roster, especially after the blockbuster trade in January 2007 that netted them Al Harrington, Steven Jackson, Sharunas Jasikevicius, and Josh Powell in exchange for Ike Diaku, who they had drafted, Mike Dunleavy Jr., who they also drafted, Troy Murphy. I can't remember if the Warriors drafted Troy Murphy. I think they did. And then also Keith McLeod. So that was a great trade. The Pacers were trying to get out from under Harrington and Jackson and their, I don't want to say antics, but Jackson had definitely made a name for himself, the Malice in the Palace. He was involved in that. He was very spoken, not necessarily always well-spoken, but very spoken. And he fit right in, and Harrington fit right in, especially with Don Nelson in their system. He said, let's go, shoot the ball. And Harrington and Jackson obliged. So they beat the dominant Dallas Mavericks 3 times. They go on a 16-5 run to close the season just above 500. They make the season, they make the playoffs on the last day of the season, 42-40. Can you imagine any team in certain years in the West making the playoffs with a 42-40 record? The Warriors missed the playoffs the next season, going 48-34 was the record for the most wins by a team that missed the playoffs. Very sad. And we lost the playoffs in the final game of the season that year. We couldn't beat the Denver Nuggets. We needed to beat the Denver Nuggets and just couldn't do it. So every team that made the playoffs that year had 50 wins, but that was not the story of the 2007 postseason. So the Warriors came in hot. They came in winning way more games than they lost, and they came in with a ton of confidence, and they felt like they could go into Dallas and beat that team, and they did. They won the first game, shocking everyone. Dallas came back to win the second, and then the Warriors win both games at home, going up 3-1. I was at the fourth game. They won that game 103-99. I was in high school, senior in high school at the time, and Baron Davis made a half-court shot at the halftime buzzer to tie the game at 49, and that was the loudest sports moment I have ever been a part of in my life. And I've been to finals games, but there was no moment that was louder than that, and I'm pretty sure the Warriors chant kind of grew out of We Believe. That was also when Roracle became Roracle, so it was a special moment. Go back to Dallas. Dallas wins the fifth game, and the Warriors close it out in six, and it was just special. It was just really, really special. It was fun for Don Nelson to beat his old team. He didn't leave on good terms. It was fun for Baron Davis to just lead a team. Baron Davis was our heartbeat. He was Draymond before Draymond. And this team, like the current iteration of the Warriors, which is, of course, much higher on talent, was better than the sum of its parts. Steven Jackson played his best basketball with the Warriors. Monte Ellis became a household name with this team. Jason Richardson finally got to play consequential basketball. Matt Barnes. I mean, that guy made some big shots. He was huge, as sad as it is to admit. Al Harrington playing at the four, helping to pioneer the stretch four. Andres Biedrins dropping dimes from the center position, grabbing rebounds, getting double-doubles. This was a fun team. It was a really fun team. Unfortunately, we did not get to play the Rockets in the second round. We had to play the Utah Jazz. The Warriors matched up much better against the Rockets, and I was hoping that they would get to play the Rockets. That would give them a chance to make the conference finals. But the Jazz were too disciplined, too big, and the Warriors didn't really have a chance against them that year. And that year, the Spurs went on to win the championship, beating the Jazz and then beating LeBron's first iteration of the Cavaliers in the finals. But the Warriors made noise, and they did something special. They did something that no team had done up to that point, which is to beat a number one seed in a best-of-seven series. And they reignited the Bay Area's love for basketball. It had been 13 years since they last made the playoffs, and that was a three-game sweep, and it ended with Chris Webber leaving the team in favor of Don Nelson, which was never the way that should have gone. But 13 years is a long time, and even though the Warriors didn't make the playoffs in the ensuing 5 years after that We Believe season, it had a lasting effect. So that by the time Stephen Curry's Warriors started making the playoffs, they were already primed and ready to go. It was a really special time. It was a special time for me and a special time for my friends, and it was just fun to go to college and be a part of a winner, finally. It was a special time in Oakland. All right, it's bowl season, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for payout? Sign up at MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin, which is crazy. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. But you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup, as well as in-game live betting on all this season's NFL and bowl games. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, it's time to do a quick preview of Warriors versus Rockets in Houston, and we're going to start with the man himself, James Harden. He's got a grade 2 hamstring strain and will be reevaluated in about a week and a half. Kevin Durant also isn't going to play tonight with some sort of calf injury he suffered in the first quarter of yesterday's game. So here's what you're missing without James Harden in this game. Not only is he leading the league in scoring and player efficiency rating, he also leads the league in three-point field goal makes and attempts, free throw makes and attempts, overall points, usage percentage, win shares per 48 minutes, and offensive win shares, as well as offensive box plus minus. At 10.2, he's pacing the league and 0.4 points ahead of number two, Stephen Curry. So he's making his MVP case known after two straight years of being the runner-up. And the reality at the end of the day is it's his award to lose, even though they did just go through a tough stretch and they're going to be facing some tough opponents in the month of January. His running mates, Chris Paul and Clint Capella, are 1-2 in the league in offensive rating, and the Rockets lead the league in offensive rating, so that actually makes a lot of sense. Stephen Curry is 5th on that list, and James Harden is 10th. But despite all this, they're going through a tough stretch. They lost to the Lakers, Clippers, Thunder, Celtics, and Wizards in succession, and then needed two OTs to beat the Lakers back on December 31st. An easy game against the Orlando Magic last night. They won 116-98. But they're playing on a Sega Baba as well. So rest will be the equalizer. A lack of rest will be the equalizer for both of these teams. Even so, you can expect them to push the pace. They're 8th in pace in the league. The Warriors are 4th. So it's actually surprising to me that there are that many teams that push the pace faster than the Warriors and the Rockets. But what the Rockets like to do is put up threes early in the shot clock before a team has a chance to set up its half-court defense. And this is going to be huge for the Warriors because they haven't been defending the three-point line in the last three games. And the Rockets put up a ton of three-pointers. James Harden puts up 10.6, Eric Gordon 9.5, Trevor Ariza 7.1, 6.2 for Chris Paul, 6.0 for Ryan Anderson, 5.5 for Gerald Green. That's their top six players shooting the three ball, and they are knocking them down. They really are knocking them down. Eric Gordon is getting his percentage back up from a career low, and he's now up to the league average of around 35%. But Trevor Ariza shooting 39, Chris Paul shooting 39, James Harden shooting 39, Gerald Green in a few games back is shooting 60% from three so far. Four games back, 59.1. It's insane. So they put up a ton of three-pointers. A ton. And they're going to put them up early in the shot clock. They're going to try to keep the defenses disoriented. And the Warriors are going to have to play locked in. This game is obviously going to take a different tone without James Harden and Kevin Durant. The two possibly most impactful players on either team. Though, you can make an argument for Steph, and obviously Chris Paul is going to have his way without Harden on the floor. We haven't seen what this team can be with Chris Paul leading the way without Harden. But honestly, I don't think much will change. He's going to dominate the ball. He's going to get people in their spots, and they're going to still put up a ton of three-pointers. Threes and everything in transition and everything, at the rim. So we're going to have to play defense at the three-point line and at the rim very well. Clint Capella is a monster. He's a monster on the offensive boards. We're going to need to make sure that he doesn't get going offensively and get going on the offensive board. Same with Nene and PJ Tucker. We know what the Warriors can be without Kevin Durant. We've seen it a number of times already this season. It's tough to lose 25 points a game, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. But at the same time, it's the next man up. Hopefully Caspi, with his ankle, can come in and play some good minutes. Jordan Bell can hopefully play some good minutes. And we're going to count on Nick Young to have a really good game. I think this is the type of environment that really you could see a guy like Nick Young get going. And at the end of the day, the Warriors have Wardell, Steph, and Curry. That changes everything. And hopefully he'll have another big game. Should be a great game. That's my pod for the day. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be recapping this game against the Rockets. We'll go down the Reddit hole, and then I'll be previewing the game against the Los Angeles Clippers on Saturday the 6th. The Clippers are playing very well. They got Blake Griffin back, and they're winning some games. So should be fun and hopefully we'll be able to get Draymond to get in Blake's head a little bit. Make sure that you bookmark LockedOnWarriors.com, go to Facebook.com, go to Locked On Warriors on Facebook, Locked On NBA Net on Facebook. All your favorite teams are there. Find us on iOS and Google Play. Hit me up at Koji Tare, KOGITARE on Twitter, or AlicoCarter11@gmail.com via email. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.